We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, man. Send it to the Marconi Award people right now.
That math moment does not get less embarrassing. If you were wondering, like the more it plays, it does not get any less embarrassing. That I couldn't realize 5 out of 100 is 5%.
We'll have Theo Epstein check your math today at 10 o'clock.
What, you like he's a smart guy or something?
He's pretty smart.
Went to Yale? Is that how it's pronounced?
In Yale.
New Haven, Connecticut?
San Diego.
Yeah. Well, Theo's got his hands full. Before he comes to talk to us, he's got to go manage the team. Seems like that's what he's doing an awful lot lately.
It sure does. It is the Spiegel and Parkin show. From, you hear that in the background?
Yeah, it's the L.
That's the L.
Sure is the red line.
Well, you normally can't hear that from the ninth floor of the Prudential Building.
True.
We must be somewhere different today.
We are. We're in the bleachers. We are in center field. We are just under the left corner of the giant video board. Video board left. In left center.
That's right.
And it's a beautiful office to be in. It's a little bit moist, but that's okay.
Last time we had 30-mile-an-hour winds. Today, you know, we didn't get in here because, like, you were camped out in a Starbucks. I was like, I'm camped out in my car.
Yeah.
Got here at 8:50. Like, it'll blow through. The heavy stuff's going to come down for quite a while.
Hopefully. We'll see. Matt Pullman and Mitch Rosen and everybody else doing a terrific job in getting us going here. And very glad to be here on a Friday where Theo Epstein's going to walk over and join us in person at 10 o'clock. An awful lot to talk about with that guy today.
That's right.
And other baseball goodies along the way as we lead up to a Cubs afternoon game.
Yeah, Paul Sullivan will join us at some point. Jonah Carey is going to join us at 10:40. The Hall of Famer, Ryan Sandberg, going to join us here at the Bleachers.
Really?
At 11
for
o'clock.
For sure?
I've been told for sure that Rhino is going to be here.
All right.
At 11 o'clock.
Does he know, are any White Sox players, current White Sox players going to be here to join him?
I don't think so.
Rhino, this is Jose Abreu. Say hello.
We will play that back for him,
great.
With Fergie Jenkins. I think that's going to hell. Yeah, so Rhino is in.
Rhino, this is Todd Frazier. He's a third baseman.
I think he'll laugh about it.
Well, we'll find out.
And if he doesn't, it'll be the last time he comes and sees us in the bleachers.
Let's play it late in the interview. Put it at like 14 minutes after or something like that.
I had it for the lead.
Paul Sullivan going to come by and talk some bleacher history with us. As a young employee at the Tribune, he sat in the bleachers talking to Bill Veeck, doing a story, just trying to get some information. And so, you know, I mean, he's what we have as a baseball Bigfoot. He's the guy that we can talk to about the history of this joint and the other joint down south and the joint that was there before the other joint down south, et cetera, the changes here. Want to talk about some of that stuff with him.
And we have a father and son who are both going to be dressed in kilts outside of the Wrigley Field bleacher entrance wearing a Spiegel and Parkin sandwich board.
Wait a minute.
Don't ask me why. Don't ask me how. Just thank me.
Yeah, but
you're welcome.
Today, we were looking for a listener to wear the Spiegel and Parkin Show sandwich board and walk around and embarrass themselves as much as I was embarrassed at
and
the corner
promote the show.
Of State and Lake and promote the show perhaps as more than I promoted the show. I mean, there should be a nice crowd here, theoretically.
Yeah, certainly right in our demographic.
And I saw one guy reached out to us on Twitter and offered to play parody songs on a ukulele while wearing the sandwich board.
It was a strong offer.
But was he too late, or was it just that you went with the kilt family?
I liked the kilt family. I liked the father and son dynamic. He's going to be bringing his 6-year-old son to Wrigley, so that tugged at the heartstrings.
Oh, very nice.
I liked the idea of people saying, why the hell is someone wearing a kilt? And then why the hell is someone wearing a kilt covered by a sandwich board? What the hell's on that sandwich board? Like, I felt like it was more intriguing than a ukulele.
Yeah. That's a good conversation piece, right?
That's what I was thinking.
Who's the guy in a kilt wearing a sandwich board? Let me ask you a question. Did we go ahead and make a little mini sandwich board for the 6-year-old? Because that would be awesome.
We didn't.
We had the father and son version.
It would be. Wasn't in the budget, but I know the promotion staff will be able to take great pictures of maybe the 6-year-old hiding in the sandwich board, peeking out from around the corner of the sandwich board.
We got an hour and a half. There's got to be a Kinko's nearby. Are there still Kinko's in the world?
I think so.
FedEx Kinko's?
I don't know if Amazon has put them out of business yet or not. I don't know how that works.
It's just a matter of time before we're all bought by Jeff Bezos.
That's true. The opening segment here brought to you by Cabela's. Cabela's summer clearance is going on now. From clothing to optics, come in and get savings of up to 50% off. See all their deals at Cabela's.com.
Danny, that was as unpleasant a day at the ballpark as you could have on a beautiful day. Here at Wrigley Field yesterday, the unpleasantness of the game and end of the season, really, is that a new nadir? We keep looking for low points. We keep looking for like ways to get out of it, but low points is what keep presenting themselves. That was hideous against a first place team who looked every bit like a first place team. They had the swagger of a good team. They had the edge of a team that gave a crap about winning, it's not a statement game, but hey, it was to them. They treated it as such. They showed up with an edge and played like a bunch of badasses and walked around like a bunch of badasses, and the Cubs got blown out of the water and walked through a very listless performance against the team that's going to be ahead of them in the standings come the All-Star break. That was ugly stuff.
It was terrible. It was an awful game, and, you know, you move on from it as fast as the players can,
yes.
And maybe the John Jay levity at the end will allow it to. I know we'll get a scouting report from Theo on John Jay as a pitcher when he joins us at 10 o'clock, but baseball beefs are just, they're so lame.
What do you mean beefs? Between the teams?
Well, yeah, so did you see the quote from Zach Davies? Everybody's mindset was a little upset that we had a night game Wednesday, and they scheduled a day game for today after they had a day game yesterday.
Uh-huh.
As a team, we tried to put it on them early, and that kind of showed right out
of the game. Why is that lame?
I don't know, because it's, they canceled a game because of rain.
Well, that's the thing.
And then this game, they could have given us a night game.
It wasn't
rain. Day game.
But I think it goes back to the 20th of May when it did not rain.
I know.
It's kind of like what happened to the Nationals and their fans last night.
Yeah.
Where they waited 3 hours to and they could have been playing the whole game. And you got Ender Inciarte of the Braves tweeting back at people saying we could have played six innings by now in the middle
right.
of the freaking rain delay. I mean, the day that it happened on May 20th, a lot of people were like, well, that is some bogus stuff. And clearly the Brewers have it and are holding on to it.
I know, but
It's grabbing the edge. It's grabbing the edge that you need, that you got to grab from somewhere.
I know, and I guess in baseball you grab the edge from weather forecasts, and like when you play the Raiders, they're throwing batteries at your family members when they get off the team bus. Like, it's just lame. Oh my god, we had to play the game at 1:20 instead of 7:20. Oh my god, 6 hours for the Brewers.
Look,
just shut
I'm
up.
I'm sure you would have been very considerate of being delayed 6 hours for anything.
Yeah, well, no, absolutely.
No, I hear what you're saying. Like you think the psychological edge that a baseball team sometimes has is wimpy as compared to, say, the football psychological edge.
Yeah, you flipped your bat. Yeah. You stared at your home run.
Yeah.
Shut up. That's
why I say baseball, and you say baseball.
Baseball. It's fine, but like that. Oh man, the Brewers really came out and stuck it to the Cubs.
They
because
did, though.
Of the start. Well, no, they did.
Yeah, they did.
But it was because they're better and the Cubs are bad.
Well, yeah, no.
Start time of the game.
See,
spare me.
But I won't let you reduce it. I will not stand by and let you reduce it to simply they are better. They are better. They are better. But they also know they're better.
And
you see the tweet this morning from John Paul Morosi, the Brewers are now looking to buy at the deadline. I'd be emboldened as an organization after yesterday, too. I'd be emboldened by the whole start of the year, but here you are at the break, and you just played the champs and kicked the crap out of them. I know it's only one game of a long season, but you tell me who looks like the better team. I've been saying I don't buy the Brewers. It's getting pretty late. Just like it is getting pretty late early here for the Cubs, it's getting pretty late in the season to look at the Brewers and say, I don't buy it, man. They got a lot of people who are having very, very good years offensively.
And, I mean, have the Brewers win 2 of 3 heading into the break. I think that they have that left, right? And have the Cubs lose 2 of 3 to the Pirates. Going to the break 5.5 games out.
Yeah, man.
And with one All-Star at the All-Star game. Nobody talking about you except locally in a negative way for 4 days. And then tell me how you're going to feel about your team when they start the second half.
Yeah, I mean, that whole Brewers thing, man. Ryan Braun getting booed loudly for lots of reasons, and then he freaking homers and takes his time between third and home, by the way. Took his time and whatever, you know, that's his right. But they got a lot of guys around him. Whether Travis Shaw and Eric Thames didn't even play yesterday because it's against Mike Montgomery, and they, you know, that's a better team than I've given credit for. And you don't want to freak out about one day because it is a long baseball season. But, hell, man, one team had that edge that their own boss said. Theo said, what, 3 days ago? We need to have that edge.
Yeah.
As he managed verbally through the media. And then yesterday, he managed some more through the media. But he said they need the edge. One team had it yesterday. The other did not.
We got a really fun show today. 312-644-6767. The text line, of course, 670-11. Theo Epstein live with us in the bleachers at 10. A listener and a son in a sandwich board outside the bleacher entrance for some reason. They're wearing kilts. Jonah Carey, Ryan Sandberg, Paul Sullivan. My last day at work for 17 days.
Yeah, man.
I'm not going to rub it in, but I'm going Italy.
You know, wow.
I'm kidding. Sorry.
You know what I was about to say?
What's that?
I'm genuinely happy for you.
Oh, until I did that. I blew your genuine happiness.
Like, I'm genuinely...
I ruined
dude,
it.
Dude, you've worked very hard
Thank
here in the
you.
Dream job.
Thank
you. You put off the honeymoon.
Yes.
You only get married once, I've heard.
2.5 times on average.
Theoretically. Is that what it is?
No,
wow,
I'm no,
right,
I was
I'm
basing
right
it off of Spiegel's... I was basing off you. I have no idea what the man
some
American
people
average.
Apparently only get married once, and you, I mean, I wouldn't, I don't know a lot of them, but you, I'm genuinely happy for
Thank
you.
Thank you very much.
And
man.
You deserve a couple of weeks off, man. We're going to be fine. You don't have to be worried or threatened by the existence of a Rosner
or not.
Anybody. Good.
I'm not. I checked over my contract last night, read the fine print. I'm good. They got to pay me to go away, baby.
All right.
Yeah, I'm good.
So I'm about to say I'm genuinely happy for you, and then you're like, you do the Jamokian.
I'm kidding.
Jamokian rub it in.
I know. I'm just saying. I'm not. I'm looking forward. I will be happy to come back, but I am very happy to go away.
Understandable.
And take the vacation, right? You work hard, play hard.
Yes.
That's how I like to live my life.
I understand. We got to talk about the Theo comments before we get to Theo. And I just, it would not be the worst thing in the world if they do absolutely nothing at the deadline. I don't think they're going to do nothing. I think they'll probably add a pitcher of some kind. They'll add a backup catcher. But it would not be the worst thing in the world if they don't do a damn thing. We'll talk about that this afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think people might be, you know, so Theo says we're not, you know, it has to come from within, right? Salvation lies within.
Yeah.
We're not going to trade for someone that's all of a sudden turn us into the 100-win team from the last 2 years. He's doing something there. And I feel like maybe a point is being missed in that. When people are like, oh, he's not going to trade? There's a point there. So let's get into what Theo said before he joins us at 10 o'clock on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
That was Theo Epstein yesterday. He will join us from the bleachers live at Wrigley Field coming up at 10 o'clock. It is the Spiegel and Parkin Show brought to you by Jersey Mike's Subs. Want to win a rockin' trip from Jersey Mike's and Pepsi? Stop in Jersey Mike's today to enter. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends August 14th. See official rules at PepsiRockThisWay.com.
There's a lot to hear right in there, what Theo is saying. The first thing, my first reaction, and I know you mentioned a message that's being missed. My first reaction is to connect it to what he said 3 days ago about players have to have that edge. Theo is doing some managerial work verbally, perhaps through the media or perhaps more directly. We don't know how directly he's doing it. We can ask him at 10 o'clock. But this is a level of involvement in terms of the mindset of the players that feels managerial in nature to me.
Yeah, I agree completely. I was sitting in the car when it was raining, just listening to Mully and Hanley, and they were talking about Arlington, and it was great, and then they had Haw on, and they spent a lot of time talking about Theo's comments, and I thought that it was pretty obvious yesterday that he was sending a message to the team through the media. Now, maybe he's also sending the message to the media and the fans.
That's right? What I don't know, yeah.
Right. So
exactly.
It could be for everybody, obviously. But I don't believe...
Or excuse me, or if he said it to them directly, if he went over to the clubhouse and talked with them. I don't know about that.
I doubt it. I
don't know.
Remember in the paper when John Lester and those guys were like, you know, it always would be welcomed if another guy came in and he shook things up and all of that.
Yes.
Well, don't sit around and wait for that. You guys won 97 games 2 years ago. You won 103 games in the World Series last year. Who do you think is coming in here that's going to just magically save the team? I don't believe for a second that if Theo Epstein thinks that he can get Chris Archer for 85 cents on the dollar, that he won't pull the trigger. I don't believe for a second that the Cubs are going to be sellers at the deadline. They might stand pat. They might only make minor moves, but they will make additions in some form or fashion here. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't want his guy sitting around waiting for it as if it's some magic bullet that's going to fix them.
They shouldn't.
Right. So to hear it from Theo, and when they listen to whether they listen to the radio or they hear the questions that get directed to them from the media or they read the paper or whatever it is, that gets back to them through some form or fashion. And they're like, okay, it's on us. If they somehow thought that it wasn't on them, now they hear the big boss saying, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Reinforcements coming? Maybe, maybe not. But this team is underperforming across the board. We did the numbers the other day. Like, there's three guys on the team who have a better wins above replacement through 83 games this year than last year.
Uh-huh.
So the idea that, like, man, Chris Archer is going to save the Cubs. You could add three players to this team and it wouldn't save the Cubs, right?
Right.
Like, they need to be better, period.
And it's way too early in your window to make some kind of core-altering deal to go, to go for it right now. And they need to know that. That's the other, like, players need to realize that. And I know you're a vet, John Lester, and you came here to win, and you won last year, and you want to win again right now. But guess what? This might just have to be a year where you take your damn lumps as a young core. And that's the part that connects to me with, like, it's not the worst thing in the world if they do very little, if they make a couple little minor moves and they don't. Sometimes a young core learns pretty damn quickly. You can't just show up and be good, and one of the ways you learn it is by not making the playoffs. The last six World Series champions have not made the playoffs. There's a lot of teams. There's a lot of teams. There's a lot of teams. Oh, no, that is right. The last six World Series champs have missed the playoffs.
You can go to the World Series and get back. The last six champions have gotten it.
Sometimes you go there and you fail and you go right back like the Royals did. That's the one that stopped me in my brain.
Yeah.
But the last six champs have missed the playoffs. And a ton of teams have gone under 500 the year after they win a World Series. I just tweeted that list with the help of our guy Scott from Davenport. The Giants go year in, out, in, out, in, and
they
win it all three times.
I was gonna say, they go win, out, win, out.
Right. Yeah. The Red Sox over the past 5 to 7 years, look at them from year to year to year. And if you make some kind of giant trade, because, yes, every season is sacred, you know, you could be damaging yourself for next year, for the year after that, or for whatever it's going to bounce back. Some of that, like, if these kids need to be humbled and realize that, oh boy, I guess it is on us, and I got to make sure that my development gets a little bit more linear. I got to make sure that I find a way to motivate myself because my manager's not going to do it for me every day. Whatever. Learn your damn lessons by taking your lumps in a year like this.
Well, and the desperation isn't the same because they did win. Right, you don't have to mortgage a ton of the future to go in and win this year because they won last year if he doesn't think the team is worth it or valuable enough for it. And say they're 5.5 games out, 6 games out,
yes,
at the trade deadline, and they make minor moves, backup catcher, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Backup catcher and either a rental starter for cheap or a Mike Montgomery-esque addition.
There are so many division games in August and September.
Yeah.
They could still, this team as presently constructed, could still overcome a 6-game deficit in the last 2 months, make the playoffs, and then it'd be a total crapshoot.
And you know what? They deserve to be challenged to do so. Manager included. The entire roster and the coaches deserve what Theo is given them, which is the challenge. Hey, figure it out, okay?
Let's get an update.
From the Chicago Wolves Update Studio, I'm Joe Ostrowski. New Wolves head coach Rocky Thompson knows how to win. He just directed his team to the Memorial Cup Championship. See Rocky fight to be the best in the AHL with the Wolves. Visit ChicagoWolves.com.
You got to stay within yourself, stay within your routines, and you know, you got to give them credit too. Like, they're a good team. They really swing the bats well. They've been hot coming in, and they're in first place for a reason. And we, you know, we believe in ourselves. We believe in what we can do, and we believe it's still right there for us.
Mike Montgomery on the Brewers after getting roughed up for 7 runs in 2 1/3 yesterday. Cubs play their 4th straight day game at Wrigley today against the Pirates. Eddie Butler versus Trevor Williams. Mark Gordy's pregame at 12:45. Theo Epstein sits down with Spiegel and Parkins in a half hour from now at 10 o'clock. Sox continue their road trip against a struggling Rockies team who has lost 12 of their last 15 games. Colorado hitting .226 and has a 7.29 starting pitcher ERA in those 15 games. Fox Sports' John Morosi says Milwaukee is prepared to buy at the trade deadline. They've begun background work on Jose Quintana and other starting pitchers. And in the NBA, Boston deals Avery Bradley in a second-round pick to Detroit for Marcus Morris. Tim Hardaway Jr. signs a four-year, $71 million offer sheet with the Knicks, and Kelly Olynyk a four-year, $50 million contract to go to Miami. Baseball fans root for the Cubs to strike out the side in the ninth inning, and you could win free haircuts for a year and 10 grand from Great Clips. Enter the Save of the Game promotion at cbschicago.com/contest through tomorrow. Then watch your team's ace throw heat in the ninth inning. If he strikes out the side, you could win $10,000. Register today and watch for your team's Save of the Game with Great Clips. It's going to be great. I'm Joe Ostrowski, and you're listening to 670 The Score, celebrating 25 years of Chicago sports talk and the radio home of the world champion Chicago Cubs. The next Cubs game on The Score today at 12:45 when the Cubs take on the Pirates on 670 The Score, Chicago Sports Station.
Thank you, Joe Ostrowski. We are 30 minutes away from Theo Epstein. We will discuss his comments from yesterday, but also other issues pertaining to the club. Jonah Carey, Ryan Sandberg, Paul Sullivan also scheduled to join us from the bleachers. Do you agree, though, that if people are criticizing Theo for his comments yesterday as, oh, come on, if he was another executive without the name Theo Epstein, we would be crushing him for that. I don't believe him. Like, I don't believe that that means that there are no trades coming, that he's not going to look to improve. He said as much yesterday. Like,
yeah.
Like, don't take that as some sort of
concession
or inaction.
No, man, that was nowhere near a concession. That was a challenge. It was a challenge to the men that won it all last year and are still here.
Exactly.
And it's in no way a concession. If he were to say something.
There's 3.5 weeks between now and the deadline.
Right. It's a challenge. Step up, boys. It's on you.
Make it worth it, mm-hmm. by the way. Like, compel me to make a bigger move.
Show me you deserve this.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's very simple to me, and people are complicating and are confusing. Oh, my God, Theo's not going to try to win this year. No, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
They got a huge payroll. They got a great team. A few people texting in, like, why would selling be the worst idea? Trade Wade Davis, bring in a haul. You're not going to win this year anyway. The team's not good. I've heard that floated around a little bit.
That's a dangerous message to send.
Yeah,
in my opinion, especially, you know, even if that, look, every year you're looking at your team and you're trying to say, all right, should we be a buyer or a seller? Are we there? And, you know, in no way. Should this team concede and pack it in for this year, especially not at this point. If in 3.5 weeks, if they're still within, like, 5 games of the Brewers.
They won't sell at 7 or 8, I wouldn't
think. No, I don't think they'll sell at 7 or 8, nor should they.
Right. If they lose 13 of the next 15 games, right, and suffer an injury, then maybe.
But even then.
I could see them trading Wade Davis if they could get a huge haul, if they were double-digit games out with a huge injury.
Right. If Bryant or Rizzo are out for the year and you are 11 games out, let's talk again in the last week of July.
Yeah.
Is that even possible? Yeah. As they do the math.
Yeah. No,
Brewers would have to go crazy.
Yeah. They'd have to lose. They'd have to go on a huge losing streak and the Brewers play well. So it's not impossible,
mm-hmm.
but I would be. It's because the baseball's done a really good job of convincing teams that they're in it.
Dude, look around. That's why the White Sox are in phenomenal position.
Exactly. They're one of the few teams that's a true seller.
And anybody who was stupid enough, to say that Rick Hahn had screwed the pooch with the Jose Quintana thing. You know, yeah, and he hadn't completely. I didn't say he'd completely screwed the pooch, but I wondered about the value then versus the value now. My goodness, look at the market. There. How many sellers are there?
Right.
You know what I mean? There's very, very few. The Sonny Grays and Jose Quintanas of the world should compete with a ton of teams, including now the Brewers, to get a serious haul.
Right. John Morosi saying that the Brewers are interested in Jose Quintana and have been kicking the tires on him. No, you didn't say that he had completely screwed the poop.
No.
But I think you had said that he was not going to get traded this year because the value had gone down.
Yeah, but right? I mean, but here you are.
Exactly. Here you are. He's turned it around, and it's a product of a few things. It's a product of that baseball has been smart on, right? People like to crush baseball for some stuff in terms of how they market themselves and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But they, with how they've backloaded the schedule, where how every team plays so many division games in September, you can convince yourself that you can make up ground against your direct opponents. And because of the second wild card, now it presents some sort of a fool's gold mentality sometimes. Like, some teams stand pat when they shouldn't. Like, oh, we're only 6.5 games out of the second wild card. Well, you should probably be a seller because there's a lot of teams between you and that wild card spot. But it makes the true sellers who truly are committed to the rebuild get that much more of a haul.
Absolutely.
And that's why the Cubs won't join those ranks.
I
think of the differences between the state of the Cubs organization and where they are in their window and where the White Sox are at the beginning of their rebuild. It's virtually implausible that the Cubs would become sellers like the White Sox.
Without a doubt. I think so as well. Danny Parkins is enjoying his last day here before 17 days off. He's off to Italy. I believe it is pronounced Italy.
How I should go about doing
it? Yeah, I think you should pronounce it Italy, and you should demand that people speak English to you. Mm. You should go ahead and be as ugly an American as you can possibly be. And I know you can do it.
I mean, I could. But I won't.
Oh, no, come on, man.
Well, because, you know, I don't want to have any Trump conversations abroad if I can avoid it. So, but no, I'm from Canada. Of course I'm kidding. I will represent Chicago proudly. I called for some reservations recently, and they answer the phone in Italian, and you say, do you speak English, please?
Uh-huh.
And then they all speak some
English.
Do you
have any workable Italian? Have you
no.
readied yourself with any workable Italian?
Steph, my lovely wife, has prepared a few phrases, including one, which is, I'm sorry my husband is intoxicated. That's like one of the four Italian phrases that she has memorized. That's a true story. And then she has an app on her phone that you can type an English phrase in, and it will speak Italian out.
Oh, see, look at that.
So, you know.
What a world.
We will be the millennial ugly
American. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, you will. You'll be talking into a phone and then holding it up in people's faces.
Yeah.
Here, talk to my phone.
Yeah. No, it's disgusting. But, you know, if push comes to shove, that's what we're going to do.
Didn't you hear what my phone said?
Does the
phone have attitude? Like, can you add, like frustration or...
This pasta's taking forever.
Where is my damn food?
I'll have the house wine. No, I don't want to mark up.
Wow, you are going to represent ugly American millennials in very fine fashion.
But I'm not going to try to. It just comes so naturally
to me.
We've
noticed.
Yeah. I know. You point it out all the time.
I know.
I'm proud to be a millennial, where at least I know I should live a while.
That's nuggets,
how the song goes,
I have more nuggets for you from one of the most joyful articles that I've read in a magazine in a long time, including a gambling aspect that speaks directly to you, Danny Parkins.
I'm intrigued. Theo Epstein at 10. We're in the bleachers on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
That's a lot of boom shakalakas.
It is.
Together.
Nice job by Shane and Rick.
Boom shakalaka from Sly and the Family Stones, I Want to Take You Higher. Boom shakalaka, as you mentioned yesterday, by Bill Murray from Stripes.
Yeah. One of my favorite movies of all time.
Boom shakalaka from the song Walk the Dinosaur by Was Not Was. And I think they were, that was a nod to Sly with the funk stuff. And, of course, Boom Shakalaka in NBA Jam.
Yeah, I knew two of the four.
Yeah, that's
NBA
good, man.
Jam and Stripes.
It was, and you knew the Sly song.
That's true. I didn't know the song, but I obviously did not know that it was Sly.
But that was one of the nuggets I came at you with yesterday from this oral history of NBA Jam, which is just amazing. And
I think Lawrence, if I saw correctly on Twitter, had the... guy on the author on
had, oh had the author on
yeah of the what what's his name
the editor, because it's one of those pieces. Dan Green and Alexander Abnos,
that's who he had on.
Okay.
Yeah, he had on Mr. Abnos.
I'm trying to find the voice guy. I'm trying to find Kitzrow is his name.
That'd be fantastic.
Because he's the guy. Boom shakalaka, that guy, because he used to go and stand behind people as they played the game and go, he's heating up, and
I
they would
like
turn
to talk
around
to that man
and freak out. Hey, are you the guy? Yeah, I'm the guy. And he would just bail.
It's fantastic.
Well, I wanted to offer two other nuggets here that I know you'd dig. First of all, the gamblers, all these guys who built the game. They had to test it after they built the game.
Sure.
And every day when they would add something, they had to test it. And here's some quotes. I'm a big gambler. Every game we tested got competitive. We'd gamble for vending machine products. With NBA Jam, it escalated into cash. I lost at least a couple $100 playing that game with coworkers.
Nice. I've gambled on NBA Jam.
Well, as these guys are building
just
it,
saying.
I love this.
I know that comes as a shock to you.
I'd work on the game until 4 or 5 o'clock p.m. and then say, hey, guys, I got a bunch of changes in. Come and give this a shot. We'd play for a couple hours, have dinner, and then I'd work some more until 10 or 11. 6 months in, we had something worth testing. So they're adding stuff in like, hey, let's see if this works. And they'd come back in and gamble on it.
That's fantastic. It's a great gambling game because the video game normally keeps the teams close.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, a lot of close games. Take the points if you can in NBA Jam.
We talked about putting cameras on the game so a customer, a player, could get his actual face onto a character.
Yeah.
So they were going to have that. But the effort was more than we wanted to deal with. Plus, for any game with a camera, there's the TTP factor. This is from one of the guys who built the game, right?
Yeah.
When you put a camera on a game, there's the TTP factor. Can you guess what that is?
The TTP factor.
Uh-huh.
No.
It is time to penis. How long it is going to take
what?
Before somebody puts their penis on video.
Oh,
anytime there's a camera on anything, that always happens.
Oh, my God.
That's a
I did not. I was like, tired to point ratio.
They didn't put a camera on NBA Jam because they knew that somebody would lower their pants and take a picture of their junk and try to play NBA Jam with their junk as the head of a player. That's what they knew was going to happen.
So basically, they invented Snapchat, is what you're saying.
Seriously, right?
Yeah.
TTP.
Yeah.
TTP. Anything that's got
a little
camera.
Chat roulette action.
Yeah,
back in the day.
How long does it take till someone's like, you know what I should do?
Yeah. You know who wants to see this?
Everybody.
Nobody.
The entire freaking
Nobody.
World. Glenn Rice used to go to the mall, and there'd be lines out the door, but they'd let me cut in. They'd be like, oh, my God, it's Glenn. Let's play with the Heat. You be Ronnie Cycli, and I'll be you. And I'd be like, oh, no, I love Ronnie, but I need to be me.
Oh, I mean,
Glenn Rice demanding to be himself in the game.
Well, everybody has created themselves in a video game, like now that you could do the create a player.
Right, but this was the birth of it.
Yeah, it was the birth of it. I could dunk. When I was able to create myself an NBA Live, it was amazing.
See, there you go.
Yeah, I could never do it in real life.
I just love Glenn Rice wanted to be himself.
And then
there's this. A young Gary Payton got a hold of me as one of the creators of the game. He said he wanted to be in the game. Payton was still on the verge of breaking out. The Sonics were Sean Kemp and
Gary Payton, Detlef Schrempf.
Benoit Benjamin. On the first one.
Oh, God.
It was Kemp and Benoit Benjamin.
So that's not the first arcade game. That's the whatever.
Yeah, it's the first arcade edition. Did not have Gary Payton in it yet.
Okay.
Because he wasn't good enough yet. And the guy said, I told Gary Payton what we would need, not thinking anything would come of it. It's a lot of effort, like 9 images for the head. Then I received photographs in the mail with Gary Payton standing in front of a wall at all the angles I had requested.
Crazy.
So Payton wanted to be in it. And Payton said, oh, I'm buddies with Ken Griffey Jr., and he wants to be in the game. And, oh, yeah, Michael Jordan wants to be in the game. Griffey sent them pictures wearing a backwards hat, and this is the guy, Termel, one of the guys that created the game. I did a special version of NBA Jam with the three of them in it, Ken Griffey Jr., Gary Payton, and Michael Jordan. I sent that to Gary Payton. I was happy to do it. It was pretty early in his career. It wasn't even clear it was the right move. It ends up being the right move as Gary Payton has a tremendous career. But somewhere...
So there's a game out there somewhere? There's a console where you could play with Ken Griffey Jr. and Michael Jordan?
I assume that Gary Payton owns it. And Gary Payton, he has a version, a console version, a cabinet version of NBA Jam with himself, Ken Griffey Jr., and Michael Jordan on it.
Campy, put it on the wish list. Gary Payton as a guest on the show.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, we could talk about the 96 finals and his hamstring, or...
I want to talk about him being himself with Griffey and Jordan in an early version of NBA Jam that they custom made for him.
Yeah, put that in the notes. I'd like to do that.
That's pretty badass.
That is very cool. I'm glad you got you shared that story on the air. That's a lot of fun. We have Theo Epstein, by the way, coming up, Spiegs, in about 10 minutes.
And we have a lineup, too. We have a lineup today right now.
Share it if you have it.
All right, the Cubs lineup is as follows. Ben Zobrist leads off. Chris Bryant is second, Anthony Rizzo third, Ian Happ fourth, Kyle Schwarber hits fifth again. We haven't even talked about Schwarber coming back and what he looked like and all of that yesterday.
That's okay.
Jason Hayward hits sixth. Victor Caratini gets the start at catcher. Addison Russell at short, and Eddie Butler bats ninth and is your pitcher. Victor Caratini, the start at catcher, is that a punishment of sorts for Wilson Contreras respecting 60 instead of 90, as Jim Deshaies called it yesterday? I doubt very much that Joe Maddon would say that publicly, of course. He'll talk around 11 o'clock. He'll probably say, just want to get him a day off, just want to get him a blow or that kind of thing.
It'll be asked, though.
Yeah, for sure it'll be asked.
Especially when it gets called to the attention on the broadcast. Everyone makes note of it. You know what I mean? Sometimes I feel like those types of things are maybe noticed just if you're in the park.
Sure.
Not necessarily by the masses, but when the broadcaster points it out, it's going to be a thing.
I'd be cool with that if that's the case.
Sure. Again, more accountability.
Yeah, man. I mean, like, that's the thing. Maddon has always said, respect 90.
Yep.
And if somebody doesn't respect it right there the day before, I know you're down a big pile of runs at the time. After 7 runs score in the third inning, you're going to be down a big pile of runs. But if that's what he did, I'm all for it.
They just dropped off a bunch of food, Spiegs, from Brick House Tavern, and it's pretty incredible looking. They got, I mean, it's 10 a.m., and I'm going to have some pizza. And some bar chips and
Brick House
hot dog. It's unbelievable.
Brick House is right next to the fancy Starbucks down there in the park, next to the jewelry store and the Cubs store, right there in the office building at the park next to Wrigley.
It's a really cool spot because it's at the park at Wrigley, and you can they have like the terraces out there, so it's elevated, so you have a view. They got 4 different bars in there, but you have a view of Wrigley Field, and you're right next door. So if you want like the classy, good bar food, like eating experience right next to Wrigley Field, do it. It's right by the park at Wrigley.
Apparently, they have the only live feed of the game that you're going to find at any bar around the ballpark.
That's sweet.
Because the feed on the giant screen there in the park is live.
Is the live feed, sure.
And that's the feed that Brick House has. That's pretty cool. And yeah, there's barbecue chicken quesadilla over there. There's loaded potato twists. There's a double burger. Good morning, everybody.
Yes.
And the Hoban's sausage and peppers, sautéed onions, bell peppers, toasted garlic, spicy Italian sausage, dusted hoagie roll. You know who pre-gamed at Brick House?
Brick House.
Yesterday?
Yeah.
With his wife and some friends? Our old buddy Patrick Manley.
Nice.
And I saw him yesterday at Murphy's Bleachers after the game. Pat, looking well, unsurprisingly.
Yeah.
He's an incredibly fit, handsome man. Remains...
He was a professional athlete,
yes,
Speaks.
Yes, and he has...
They tend to be in good shape.
Yes, and he's kept up a certain level of discipline. He's still the most handsome man anywhere. But Pat Manley says hello to you, says hello to the listeners.
Lovely.
And he's a good dude.
All right, so check out Brick House Tavern before, during, after Cubs games. The food looks absolutely fantastic, and it's right by the park at Wrigley. The last segment of this hour, though, brought to you by McDonald's. Make it a McDonald's McPick morning. Choose 2 breakfast faves for $2. Limited time only at participating locations. Price of single item posted on menu board cannot be combined with any other offer or any combo meal. We got to talk to Theo Epstein. He's on his way. That a magic fix is not coming in trades. Schwarber's return. Messages being sent through the media. Accountability. There's a John Jay's scouting report as a pitcher.
All of that.
There's a lot there with Theo Epstein. He joins us from the bleachers at Wrigley on Spiegel and Parkins on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.